Dr. Brand, thanks so much for taking some time to come on Viewpoints and talk to us today about this.
Thank you very much for having me.
It is kind of a fascinating conversation. You know, I'm on social media and I watch what people are doing. And I wonder what you make of it here, first of all. I mean, why is there such an obsession with selfies? Let me start there.
Yeah, I think we've always, taken pride in our appearance, and we've always kind of wanted to put our best face forward, so to speak. And we live in a time where, you know, photography is totally accessible to everybody. Everybody's snapping photos constantly, and we're constantly in front of the camera, and we're posting pictures online, and we're living, you know, a good portion of our lives online now. And our selfie is our face that we're presenting to the world, so people are very critical about what they kind of put out there.
Right, so that's kind of human nature, and I guess always has been, right, down through history. The selfie is just sort of the modern, the digital version of what existed in centuries past.
Absolutely, and in the past, you know, people who have been out there in the media, in the press, or what have you, there's been a lot of work on them to present their face forward. There's a lot of digital editing and photography modifications with Photoshop and what have you, and selfies and filters are now just the new interpretation of that that's accessible to everybody.
Yeah, so Photoshop, I'm so glad you raised that. I mean, that's the original, right, and the sort of the grandfather of all this kind of stuff, and that's been around for a long, long time. Now, of course, the tools are much cheaper, much easier. In many cases, they're free, and people will go to town on doing all sorts of things. I'm curious to get your take, Dr. Brandt, on at what point does sort of having fun with selfies, does it cross over into what we call selfie dysmorphia? First of all, what does dysmorphia even mean?
So selfie dysmorphia is a term coined by a UK plastic surgeon, Tion Eshoo, and essentially it's a subset of a psychiatric condition called body dysmorphic disorder or body dysmorphia, where you focus on a particular aspect of your appearance to the point where it starts to, you know, really impact on your quality of life and impact on your ability to do things. So you're spending a huge amount of time obsessed with that particular issue, you know, focusing on the mirror, not going out, covering it up when you go out, and it starts to really take away from your enjoyment and quality of life. So it really becomes a psychiatric problem. And we've seen this throughout, you know, the plastic surgery industry, the aesthetics industry, where we have patients who come in and they're fully obsessed with a small problem that most of us would ignore. And that's when it really becomes a major issue, when it really starts to impact on their overall life. And selfie dysmorphia is just a subset of this, where people are taking photos and focusing on a particular aspect of their appearance, editing it, modifying it, using filters or what have you, to try and make that look better for them. And then they seek out cosmetic or plastic surgical interventions to try and rectify the difference between their selfie appearance and their appearance in real life.
Wow. Dr. Michael Brandt is my guest on the line in Toronto. He's a plastic surgeon and a facial reconstruction specialist. He also works with the University of Toronto, and we're talking about selfie dysmorphia. So that is really interesting. So people will actually take sort of selfie dysmorphia, Dr. Brandt, sort of in the virtual world, and then they'll try to translate it into the real world. They'll go to see a plastic surgeon and they'll say, well, I'd like to look like this. And then they show you an Instagram picture.
Right. Yeah, it used to be people used to collect photos, you know, of celebrities or even family members where they identify a feature that they really liked, and they'd bring in a photo and say, can you make me look like this? Whereas now, with the availability of, you know, selfies and filters, people are doing it themselves, and they're coming in saying, I want to look like this.
And what do you say when someone does that?
I tell them it's just not possible. I mean, most of the time, the modifications that they're making are just not physically possible with any sort of surgical intervention or even with non-invasive treatments like, you know, neurotoxins and fillers. It's just not physically possible to make you look the way your filter kind of does you. We can make you look better. We can make you look refreshed. We can change some aspects of your appearance to kind of rectify the problem that you see. But trying to get that overall filtered look is just not something that's available.
I would gather, Dr. Brandt, that this is sort of an extreme situation. I mean, many people, and I'm the same, are guilty of, you know, making some modifications to photos on Instagram. You know, you want better lighting, or it looks a little nicer to warm up the picture, or whatever. I mean, some people go a little far. They spend an hour doing all sorts of tweaks to one photo. But when we're talking about somebody going that next step, I mean, I'm curious what you think is going on in their mind.
Yeah, and you know, to circle back to the concept of body dysmorphic disorder, that's really where it starts to impact on their overall quality of life and their ability to interact socially, their ability to get a job, their ability to even leave their house sometimes. I mean, these people are really trapped in their own mind with a, you know, perceived problem of their appearance, and it's a very disabling condition. I mean, it really speaks to mental health overall and people's access to good mental health care and treatment. And this is just, you know, one of many mental health problems.
Are you surprised? I mean, when you saw this start to proliferate, whether it was, you know, the beginning of Instagram, and you saw the ability that people had now to add these filters and do all sorts of things, did you get a sense of what was to come?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, people have always had, you know, different expectations. We're coming to see, you know, people who provide aesthetic services. So people have a picture in their own mind as far as what they would like done, and then there is the capacity of the provider with which what they can, you know, there's only so much that they can do within their kind of toolbox, as far as being able to provide people with a nice result. And then you try to marry that difference, and that difference is what we talk about in navigating expectations. So we try and discuss what's available, what can be done, and to some extent, we used to use imaging software in our offices to try and give people a perceived idea of what might be possible, but it's not a guarantee. And these days, people are doing their own photo editing and coming in saying, I want this. And then it becomes very difficult to navigate those expectations to try and deliver on a good result that doesn't quite live up to what they see on their filter.
Dr. Brandt, wonderful to have you on the program, and a fascinating conversation as well. Thank you for taking a bit of time to come on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Michael Brandt was my guest. We're talking about selfie dysmorphia. He is a plastic surgeon, a facial reconstruction specialist. He also works with the University of Toronto.